You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Lucy Hughes here on the Tuesday the 12th of November edition of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Will Smith.
Hello.
Hello, first of all. How are you, Will?
Very good. Thank you, Lucy. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, obviously the racing is, the jump season is kicking into gear now. So been some really good performances, really eye-catching stuff. And started the week in decent fashion with a couple of decent meetings on Monday as well. So obviously we've got Cheltenham ahead at the weekend as well. So lots to look forward to.
And of course the flat racing takes a break this week. So it's jumping all the way.
Yeah, well, it was slightly ironic, wasn't it, on November Handicap Day, the last day of the flat season, that the only flat meeting was at Southall on the fibre sand. So, and now we've got a bit of a break, of course, and everyone can get their jumps heads on.
Yes, great. First of all, we'll have a look at the Monday jury. So looking back at the Badger Beers Trophy at Wincanton, do you think the winner, Give Me a Copper, could develop into a Grand National contender?
Potentially so. That seems to be the way that Connections are thinking, of course. Paul Nichols would obviously know what it takes to have a horse run well in the National. He also knows what it takes to win the Badger Beers Trophy because he's won it countless occasions. He obviously had two in the race. Present Man, the rain probably went slightly against him, but Give Me a Copper produced and confirmed what made him a talking horse for most of last year, because he was well touted for a lot of big races. I think the Cheltenham Handicap on day one, he was quite a well backed fancy for that. Things didn't go quite his way, but clearly he's, whatever was holding him back, they've sorted out and got him on the right path so far this season, because he produced a really good effort, a bold prominent show, bold jumping, and just saw off the late challenge of Soupy Soups, who sort of came out of the pack to challenge him in the last half furlong or so. He'd obviously have to improve slightly to become a real top-notch national type. I mean, he won that off 1.42, which nowadays, to even get into the National, you probably need to be a bit higher than that, don't you? So, but he, you know, he's fairly lightly raced. He is a nine-year-old, so he's oldish, but he's lightly raced, and there could be a bit more to come.
Yes, looking forward to seeing where he goes next. And looking back over the weekend, there's quite a few impressive winners.
Yeah.
Fusil Raffles, he was a winner at Wincanton. And also Cure Sublime and Sirin have also impressed.
Yeah.
How strong are last season's juvenile hurdles?
I think so far they seem as if they're producing some decent results, the horses that have come out of them. I think potentially the one I'd be most probably impressed with and looking forward to would be Cur Sublime, second in last year's triumph, obviously, to Pentland Hills for Gordon Elliott, and the way he won at Down Royal from a couple of rivals that were race fit. Obviously Coco Beach was in second, who's a decent horse, rated 1.42, and he absolutely blew him out of the water. You know, he won by 15 lengths, and you could have added any more onto that, so it just looks as if he's come back a slightly different, stronger, better horse, Cur Sublime. Now, Fusil Raffles, obviously, he missed the triumph last year and went to Punchestown instead and looked very, very good. And he did well at Wincanton to beat off a race-fit rival. It was the first time he'd encountered sort of ground with a bit of cut in it on these shores. So he did well, and I'm sure he'll improve for that. But on the visual impression, it looks as if Cur Sublime is the one that has taken the largest step forward in terms of, I guess, physical ability, physical prowess. So that'll allow him, hopefully, to take slightly higher order this year. Whether he can get into the champion hurdle picture, I'm not so sure. I'd have a bit of a watching brief in terms of the juveniles on that front just yet. I think there might be more to come, but I think Classical Dream and the likes of, obviously, Bouverdere and a few other Nicky Henson horses will set a decent standard to aim at. But Cur Sublime, I think, might be the one that could stretch up to it.
Yes, definitely an eye catcher, hopefully, for this season. What other performances stood out for you, Will, over the weekend?
There were a couple at Aintree, probably, that took my eye the most. The one one of them came in the very first race at Aintree, actually. Champagne Mystery, a horse of Nicky Henderson's, owned by Trevor Hemmings, in a novice's handicap there, where there was a huge weight of support for Evan Williams trained and Rucker owned horse Present Value that was backed into 11-4 favourite. Now, he didn't see which way Champagne Mystery went. He went off in front under Nico de Boinville and jumped them silly and was really mightily impressive, I thought. And he actually ran a similar time to the other horse that caught my eye, which was Riders on the Storm, who was having his first start for Nigel Twist and Davies in the valuable 2.5 mile race at Aintree there, who fought off the gallant Sepage back in second. Now, it just looked like Riders on the Storm had improved quite markedly for joining the Nigel Twist and Davies yard, and he did that off a mark of 140. So potentially the fact that obviously Champagne Mystery ran a similar kind of time off a mark of 129 suggests that maybe he'll obviously be bumped up for that particular run, but he might be worth backing again to prove that he's well up to any kind of rise that the handicapper gives him. So it was those 2.5 mile handicaps at Aintree that really caught my eye on Saturday.
Great stuff, and of course Nicky Henderson having a good time of things. We've got some really good action as well coming up this weekend, including the Morgiana Hurdle. Will, do you have anything that you taking your fancy in that race?
It's a tricky one to weigh up, obviously, because Willie Mullins has a bit of a stranglehold on the entries. He's obviously got Classical Dream, last year's Supreme winner in that. He'd be a very strong favourite for that race, but he's got any number of horses that that have shown a very high level. Obviously Charger, who was last year's Galway Hurdle winner, and then was brought down at an early stage in the Champion Hurdle, so too early to know whether he can make up into Champion Hurdle class. But I think he is not far off Classical Dream in terms of pure ability and what we've seen. And Saldier, the long returning Saldier, who I think is a horse that can take higher order as well in the Hurdle, the Champion Hurdle picture, you'd imagine. Last time we saw him was winning the Grade 1 Novice Hurdle at the Punchestown Festival of 2018, and in a manner that suggested he could take higher order. Now, he then fell at Nace back in November of last year, and reappearing in the Grade 3 there. So it's a tricky market to weigh up and a tricky race to weigh up at the minute. Obviously, Classical Dream will be his number one, but it wouldn't be the first race where a Willie Mullins second or third string might potentially come out on top. And the two that would interest me the most, maybe at the prices, would be Saldier and Charger, if they appeared there, of course. It's a watching brief until we get the final declarations, I'd say.
Yes, interesting to see where that Saldier will go next. He's arguably a forgotten horse.
Very much so. Yeah, he won really impressively at Punchestown. I remember being quite taken by that, and hopefully whatever kept him out of action last season, he's over and comes back a decent and fresh horse.
Great. And not forgetting the Bet Victor Gold Cup, an easy one for you. who wins that race?
Yeah, well, we've obviously got the sort of confirmed entries, and it's been whittled down to 25 entries, maximum field, I think, of 22. So most of them that have confirmed their entry will get a run. It's a couple of horses that are sort of coming at this from different angles, really. One of them, I think I'm okay in having two stabs at this, aren't I, given it's such an open race. One of them comes from a trainer who, at an incredibly young age, is just doing things which no one could even believe. That's Joseph O'Brien, who became the youngest Breeders' Cup winning trainer, 2 weekends ago, in addition to being the youngest ever Breeders' Cup winning jockey as well, which is just pretty sensational.
Amazing, yeah.
And he saddles Us and Them, who was a bit of a bridesmaid last year. He finished second in four Grade Ones at the Leopardstown Boxing Day meeting, at the Dublin Racing Festival in the Arkell, and then in the 2 mile Grade One at the Aintree Festival. And on all of those occasions, he chased home a very, very good horse. He chased home Larichberg twice, Duke de Geneva in the Arkell, and Ornua at Aintree. And on each time, I just remember thinking, he just needs to step up in trip. He just can't quite go the pace of a real top-notch Grade One horse in that novice company. Now, he reappeared this year in the Grade 2 at Goran Park just over a month ago, the PricewaterhouseCoopers Champion Chase there, where he ran really, really well for a long way on his first try at 2.5. Now, that was on softish ground, and I imagine he'll come on massively for that run. I can't remember Joseph O'Brien pinpointing a horse to any big race without a prep run. So I imagine that will have been a prep run for him. And I just can't find any other horse in here that brings grade one form into the race. Admittedly, it's over slightly shorter and it was in novice company, but I still think that it's very, very valid. He's got a mark of 152 over here, which is fine. I think he'll appreciate the step up to 2.5. And I think he's going to go very, very well. And the other one is Count Maribel for the Nigel Twiston Davies stable, who always plot one or two up for this particular race. He had a lovely run round behind Lost in Translation in the Colin Parker Memorial Chase. And he won at this meeting last year in the Course and Distance Novice Chase when beating Le Broil. So I think he's been earmarked for the race, and he should come into it a race fit horse as well. So us and them and Count Maribel would be my two each way stabs.
Great. And as we're looking at it at William Hill, Count Maribel is 12-1 and us and them 10-1, so might be well worth a bet now before they could get
potentially
even shorter.
So. Before, yeah, before potentially so. I mean, Slate House is in his favourite on back of winning at the October meeting, but I just wonder whether he was slightly flattered by the way things went for him in that race. And then you've got a few others at single figure prices who have probably seen a bit of support over the last month or so. So I just wonder whether support might dry up for them and punters will look elsewhere, which might mean that the likes of us and them and Count Maribel might come in for a bit of support now. So I think they should go off shorter on the day, whether they will or not. It's a different matter.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I do think that they should be slightly shorter than they are.
Great. So there's a couple of selections from Will for a couple of the big races on Saturday, the Morgiana Hurdle and the Bet Victicol Cup. Before we move on to Tuesday's action, is there anything else you're looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Yeah, probably the race that I'm most looking forward to is the Arkell Trial, actually, at Cheltenham on Sunday. It's the second race on the card there on Sunday, and it features obviously a rematch between Al Dancer and Getaway Trump from the October meeting, where Al Dancer got the better of the argument on that particular occasion, Getaway Trump just fading out of things and finishing third. I do think that Getaway Trump will turn around that form, actually. I think he'll come on for that run quite markedly, and he just looks like he has a bit more scope and a bit more to him chasing wise. But I'm fascinated to see how they both size up against Ollie Murphy's Brewing Up a Storm, who was super impressive, I thought, at Carlisle over 2 miles on seasonal debut. The form has been given a bit of a boost with Midnight Shadow running such a cracker and Crawley coming down at the last at Carlisle on Monday. So I think he's a horse really to note for potential festival assignments, whether it's for the Arkell or for the JLT. I think this will tell us a bit more. So it's probably more a race that I'm looking forward to rather than one particular horse. I think it'll be a cracker.
Yes, some really likeable horses lining up in that Arkell Trial at Cheltenham on Sunday. So let's have a look at a bit more of the media action on Tuesday. It's jumping all the way, as I said, no flat racing this week. So we have action from Huntingdon and Lingfield, also Hereford, and Fairy House are subject to a 7:30 a.m. inspection. Huntingdon's 140 is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. What do you like in that, Will?
I like Tom Lacey's Sebastopol, who reappeared at Wincanton in the second week of October on his handicap debut off a mark of 127. He absolutely blew the field apart there, winning by any amount really in hand. Now, the handicap has given him £10, but I actually personally don't think that's quite enough given the manner of his win there and how much he could potentially improve for that first handicapping effort. He had some really good form last year with the likes of Thomas Darby. He chased home. He was only 6 lengths off Thomas Darby in a maiden hurdle at Cheltenham's October meeting of 2018, where he wasn't far behind Elixir de Nuts as well. So in terms of a first handicap mark, 127 on that piece of form looked a real gift. And he's up to 137 here, but the way he went through that race and the manner in which he put it to bed and the time of the race as well, I think suggests that he can improve again, definitely. Now, he was entered in the Greatwood Hurdle, actually, at Cheltenham on Sunday, but they've pulled him out of that in favour of this assignment here. It's only worth 15,000, but compared to a bit more for the Greatwood. But that's still a decent prize in its own right. And he's got Brian Hughes taking the ride because Nico de Boinville has been claimed by the Nicky Henderson horse, Cabrouk. But that's no negative. Brian Hughes is very, very good, isn't he? So Sebastopol, it will probably be a favourite. or a favourites kind of price, but I think he's well worth that.
Yes, currently 77-2 as we speak on the podcast here at William Hill. Sebastable for the Tom Later Yard is Will's selection.
Yes.
In the Huntingdon, yes. 140. Looking forward to seeing how he gets on. Now we're going to have a look at the 220 at Lingfield as well. That's Jumping Action. That is a class 4 2-mile chase.
Yep.
220 at Lingfield. What do you like here, Will?
Yeah, it's slightly different ground over at Lingfield. We'll put that into perspective first off. It's real heavy ground.
Heavy,
and yeah. When it gets heavy at Lingfield, it gets really, really heavy. And there's a horse in here that I think will really love that. A horse called Song of the Sky for Charlie Mann. Now, her penultimate start, she ran in a Stratford handicap chase over 2 miles where she chased home the Dannon Skelton trained, Harry Skelton ridden Mary Banry, who went on and improved on that by beating Thomas Darby on that one's chase debut at Warwick. Now, Song of the Sky was the only one that got anywhere near Mary Banry on that particular occasion. She was 15 lengths in second. And then she went back hurdling, which I thought was interesting. Maybe they were trying to make use of a couple of pounds lower hurdle mark. And I thought she ran a good enough race back at Stratford again when being beaten by Sweet Adair of Victor Dartnell's. Now, for me, she's all over a chaser. She left the Joseph O'Brien at the back end of last season, having gone chasing. And interestingly, when with Joseph O'Brien, has 3 wins to her name on soft or heavy ground at the likes of Cork, Limerick and Galway. So she can handle really soft, heavy ground. And she'll probably improve her last couple of starts, which already probably give her form that's strong enough to win this kind of race. So, yeah, Song of the Sky for me in the 220 at Lingfield.
Great. Thank you, Will, for those selections. That's Song of the Sky in the 220 at Lingfield and Sebastable in the 140 at Huntingdon. If you're having a bet here at William Hill, good luck. Thank you, Will, for joining us.
Thanks, Lucy.
When will we see you again?
I'll be on Betting TV actually on Wednesday, hopefully. So I'll hopefully give you a few winners there.
Great. Best of luck with Will's selections there. And Racing Radio gets underway at 11:45 on Tuesday, 12th of November. Tune in to listen to Darren Owen, Andy Holden and Kate Tracy, who will be taking you through all of Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.